This program was brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. EatWisconsinCheese.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from none other than Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn, in walking distance from some of New York's best pizza. Today, the studio may explode because I am not the only pizza journalist under its roof. We have the pleasure of hosting Michael Berman, a longtime chronicler of pizza and creator of Pizza Centric, truly wonderful website and must click for any pizza lover. Thanks for being with us, Michael.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So what came first, the pizza or the storytelling in your life?
Well, I think pizza came first because we've all been eating pizza since we were quite young. But I was always telling stories about, you know, this pizza adventure or even other foods to my friends. And for way too long, they were all like, you need to write those stories down. And so I guess it came about that the blog happened for that reason.
For sure. And what was your pizza childhood experience like? Where were you growing up? What were you eating?
I was growing up outside of Washington, D.C. in Maryland. And I guess there were three pizza experiences that repeated themselves, which I think is, when you're a kid, important for your memory. I mean, if something only happens once, it's probably traumatic if you remember it later.
Right.
But if you've done it many times, then it's something that you cherish. And so for me, there were three. One, this is the one I have least to say about. There was a chain of pizzerias in the D.C. area called Pizza Oven, and they made these rectangular pan pizzas that probably weren't gourmet-wise extraordinary. Mm-hmm. But they were very, very edible. You could work your way through a lot of pizza eating one of these. Mm-hmm. Very crisp edge that you know, was turned up just like maybe 2 millimeters, perfectly even all the way around. And I'll link to my second pizzeria by saying that my uncle was the second influence, because he opened a restaurant in D.C. that sold pizza and was very popular for a while. Uh-huh. And he was notorious, within our family at least, because at Pizza Oven, he would work his way through and eat a whole entire pizza from Pizza Oven. And
Wow. And
my parents would described how he ate the pizza as like he was typing on a typewriter, because he would start in one corner and go all the way across and then go to the next row. And so
very methodical.
That was something that, you know, and I saw him do it, and he was very, very businesslike when it came to eating. Still is.
Are we talking like baking sheet sized or smaller?
No, well, it's not that it was a huge amount of food, but I mean, as a kid, I certainly couldn't eat, you know, even half of one. I don't know what I would do today.
Right.
But it was probably like the size of a 3/4 of a jelly roll pan. Like, I guess that's like 9 by 8 by 12, mm-hmm, or something, so maybe a little bit smaller than that. Not okay. Tiny, but pretty thin.
Sizable.
Yeah. And then the third is this place in Bethesda, Maryland, called the Pines of Rome, which is an Italian restaurant that happens to still have pizza. And that was always our Sunday night dinner, mm-hmm, that or one other seafood place that we went to. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think your childhood memories matter more than the pizza itself. Mm-hmm. And yet, of course, I do love the pizza. I would defend it today. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. I think that repetition really fed into my love for pizza and wanting to share it.
Right. Sort of a ritual.
Really a ritual. And I mean, they do some different things there too that, you know, and when I went to NYU and have lived here since 87, except for a few years, mm-hmm, when I was in graduate school. And I didn't really think too much about that pizza when I was at NYU in undergrad. But when I moved back here after graduate school, it became my mission. Like, I kept looking all around New York. And New York, as you know, has tons of kinds of pizza. And many, many amazing pizza places. But it was my mission to find pizza that somehow resembled the Pines of Rome. I don't know why. I just wanted to have it here. I mean, and I've driven up from D.C. and brought back, like, I mean, my wife gets really mad at me because I buy, like, 3 or 4 pizzas, and they're all wrapped. I've taken them apart and faced the pizzas, the slices, certain ways and put them in foil, and then they end up in my freezer, and I've got a way to cook them so that I can have the Pines of Rome in the future, even though I'm not there. And probably the closest I found to Pines of Rome pizza in New York was this place that used to be in my neighborhood in Carroll Gardens called Cristardi's. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really like it, but it just had like something about the tomato on top. And that's what's great about pizza. I'm rambling, but I'll just say that what's great about pizza is that your basic pizza is dough, sauce, and cheese. Mm-hmm. It's really just 3 things, but it has so many infinite ways that it can come out.
Yeah. What was the Pines of Rome pizza? Or what was it about it that was so, you know, that you're trying to get back to?
Yeah. Well, they bake, I think that they cook them on pans or on screens, and it's got a, when it comes out right, it's got a good crispy bottom but a chewy top. They put the tomatoes underneath the cheese when they make it, I think, but somehow the tomatoes come to the surface. So something in the cooking, I'm not really, and I might be wrong about that, but I actually have made a video, and I'm thinking about I haven't written the story really yet about the Pines of Rome, but I've got video from there. And you know, they, like I saw the guy, I don't know that I've ever seen this in New York, the way they put the sauce on the pizza on certain ones is they actually press it onto the dough, which I've only seen in Rome, and I don't, you know, it probably isn't even allowed here. I mean, you wouldn't want to do that with like plastic gloves, touch the sauce and put it on raw dough. I mean, I don't know all about these health things, but you know,
can't do it
if the guy
hands.
Washes his hands, and you know, hopefully we can trust people. I mean, if people are getting sick from a restaurant, then you know, they're not going to go there.
Right.
And in the Yelp day, it's going to get around fast.
But you're giving Pines of Rome sounds like, I mean, the name is mythical.
The name is mythical. I've anyone listening who's in the DC area, I mean, go there just to experience this place. And you know, it's also a vanishing breed, really. Italian restaurants that have pizza. Mm-hmm. And many of the ones that have had pizza over the years in New York dropped the pizza because it doesn't make as much money for them.
Right.
You know, they'd much rather sell an $18 shrimp parmesan than, you know, a shareable $15 pizza to 2 people.
For sure. So when did you come to photography and writing? And then when did the two worlds merge, the pizza and the telling of stories about pizza?
It was all always about food for me, just always getting excited about meals. And I was also always taking pictures. Even when I hadn't endeavored to do it professionally, I was always carrying around a camera just taking pictures of things just because. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I worked for my uncle at his restaurant and thought I wanted to go into the restaurant business. Mm-hmm. And because of some experiences, just got turned off to it, just realized that I don't think that I have what it takes to like endure all the mental challenges of running a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Maybe someday I'll feel different, or maybe I come up with a formula that's just so simple it's more foolproof given my limitations. But at the time, I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I'd always been taking pictures, and I thought they were good pictures. And I realized, you know, I should just marry these two things, my love of food and pictures. So first it was just getting my chops taking pictures. I worked for like the Daily News in New York and some community papers before that. Mm-hmm. And just getting good at going somewhere and getting the shot quickly, or getting a single shot that tells a whole story, which is a hard thing to do. And then I realized I needed to differentiate myself somehow, and thought, well, I'll take food pictures, and I'll take food pictures where I'm treating the food like it's a person almost, and where the food in its context is going to allow for more story to come through than just, you know, how luscious those tomatoes look, or how, you know, professional that pie crust is, you know, like to actually show that pie crust with those tomatoes on it in a pretty garden where there's some person looking at it and like, you know, they look like they're about to explode. They want to bite so bad, you know.
Right.
So I started to marry the food with the photography, and then the writing came in because I had these stories, and it really was just like the third creative part of the whole cycle for me, just to have it all come together. And you know, I love doing stuff for my blog. I don't do it often enough, but I love it because I'm telling stories. I'm my own worst enemy when it comes to pressure and getting it done. I'm like really perfectionist about editing it, and I rewrite things lots of times. And you know, the easiest part probably is the pictures, because I always have so many, and you know, it's very hard to narrow them down and get rid of some good ones.
So if you're treating food like a person, what kind of personality do you think pizza has? you're shooting it,
pizza is like a seducer. Pizza is like
interesting.
I mean, pizza, you know, I think, well, in a photo, I think that pizza, if you want the pizza to look good, you have to have pretty decent lighting and focus, because cheese on top especially just starts to look all mushy and not so good if it's not a good exposure and, you know, if it's not the right color, for instance. I mean, like a black and white picture of pizza, great to have pictures in black and white. And, you know, some of the ones I did last night at Slice Out Hunger, I think I'll put up on my blog in black and white, but you can't make those ones be the ones that are saying, look how yummy I am, I'm pizza.
Right. And how was Slice Out Hunger?
I loved it. I mean, it's the third time I've gone to help out. I took some pictures. I actually got my wife and 9-year-old to come and help as well for the first time last night.
Nice. That probably wasn't a very hard sell, or was it?
Well,
convincing it a 9-year-old to go binge eat a lot of pizza.
They ate some, but I mean, mainly they were serving the pizza. That'd and, you know, I think that it's a great, you know, since our daughter's in fourth grade, it's great to expose her and kids anyway to doing things that are volunteer. And even just, I mean, even if you just look at it as work. And I think that what Slice Out Hunger does is amazing. I mean, I don't know in the grand scheme of how much it raises. Actually, I have some numbers. Scott emailed me this morning. So they raised over $30,000 last night.
Awesome.
Which includes selling 8,659 tickets. Over 1,000 people came.
Wow.
And then it all gets matched by his business and sponsors. And for anyone who doesn't know, it's then used to feed hungry people. And so to bring my daughter to do that, you know, even though it meant she'd be up late on a school night, I think it's, you know, you make trade-offs, and that's a really worthwhile one to make. It was the first time we'd done something like that with
her. That's cool.
Yeah.
I love that. So I love to ask this question to everyone that comes on the show, but why do you love pizza so much? And then why do you think other people have this sort of energy and obsession around pizza? What's your theory, having photographed it and told stories about it for as many years?
I think that the reasons why I love pizza and why I have loved pizza have definitely evolved over time, but I've never replaced the old ones. They just accumulate and accrue, and there's more and more reasons. But I think initially I loved pizza because it was, and thankfully still is, an affordable fresh food that you can get all over the place, especially in New York, that often is made by the person who owns the business, who came up with his own sauce recipe, who's making the decisions about what ingredients to buy, is putting it in the oven, taking it out, taking your $5 bill and giving you change. And it's when you're younger, it's great because you don't have a lot of money, presumably. And, you know, you can hopefully afford a slice, and you can go get a slice at a good place if you want. And if we're talking not when I was younger, but today, I'm kind of older now, but if I was younger today, I'd still probably feel like I could go to DeFara and spend $5 on a slice, because compared to other meals, it's still pretty inexpensive. Right. And two of those is enough, you know, to fill yourself up, I think.
Right.
So I think that's why I really always liked pizza, you know, once I was like a, you know, an independent person. But I think that in the grander scheme of things, pizza is really important, because it doesn't have to be a junk food. It doesn't, you know, and it can still be one of the cheaper things to get to eat without making something at home. And people need that. And, you know, it's a way better choice to go to Joe's Pizza on Carmine Street or Luigi's in Sunset Park and get a slice there than to go to some McDonald's. And, I mean, at least, you know, these people are making it. And, I mean, it's the fast food places, which is probably what you'd have to compare a slice of pizza to price-wise, I mean, they're getting frozen stuff and putting it in microwaves or on griddles or whatever. I don't know what they do. So, you mm-hmm. know, I'm not saying this out of firsthand knowledge, but mm-hmm. I've heard and I've seen, and you see the trucks in the middle of the night unloading tons of prepared things. And that's way worse. It's way worse. And I'm not mm-hmm. saying pizza's a health food, but mm-hmm. I mean, it can, you know, if you make it yourself, which I do sometimes.
Put a lot of vegetables on it.
You can put vegetables on it. I mean, I make it myself, so I'll make it, you know, I mean, the dough is a dough. Mm-hmm. It's got flour. It can be unbleached flour, mm-hmm. yeast, salt, a little olive oil, maybe a little sugar if you want it to rise faster. You can buy a good cheese. You could buy a fresh mozzarella. Mm-hmm. And you could make a tomato sauce either from fresh tomatoes if they're available or get a jar or a can, and you don't have to do much to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's really nothing else that has to be on your pizza. It doesn't have to have, you know, like a processed pepperoni or tons of oil that's not healthy.
For sure. And
so, yeah, I mean, I think that those are all good things in defense of pizza.
Yes, and you're making me very hungry. Hopefully our Roberta's order is coming soon. We're actually going to take a break in just a quick minute, but before we do, here's your pizza news brief of the week. It's been a busy one in the world of pizza. Comcast has been throwing pizza parties, stealing our thunder, at new apartment complexes in the Seattle area in the hopes that cheese and pepperoni will make people switch over to using their services, according to MyNorthwest.com. Obviously, people are having a field day making fun of this concept, proving that sometimes free pizza just isn't enough to distract from frustrating service. In terms of fast casual dining, pizza seems to be the new darling in town. A new report from Telsley Advisory Broker Group projects that around 2,000 fast casual pizza restaurants will open in the next 5 years, as companies like Chipotle and Smashburger are looking to make their way into a $32 billion market for pizza. So we'll see how that goes. Looking forward to more Chipotle-style pizza places popping up. If you guys have dined at any of them, definitely let us know what you think. And forget about brownie points, because Greensville, South Carolina residents are going to get pizza points for fire safety. The fire department in South Carolina has teamed up with Domino's Pizza for their annual fire prevention week. So they're delivering pizza in the Greenville City fire trucks, and they're checking residents' smoke alarms when they show up. So they're showing up in the trucks with the pizza going in, and if all of your smoke alarms in Greensville work, you get your pizza for free. So if only the whole world worked like that, that would be wonderful. In Atlanta, a popular pizza spot, Antico Pizza, is at the center of a federal hearing, which alleges that owner Giovanni De Palma did not pay his workers overtime and, quote, intimidated employees who cooperated with the Labor Department's investigation by threatening to deport his undocumented workers. So not a fun week at Antico Pizza. The Huffington Post has brought to our attention that pizza farms, aka farms that grow their own pizza ingredients and then serve them to you in pie form, exist. The Midwest is the lucky recipient of many of these esteemed institutions. The Huffington Post cites our pizza farm in Dow, Illinois, and A to Z Produce and Bakery in Stockholm, Wisconsin. If you have been to a pizza farm, please tell us so we can ask you so many questions. Italy's pizza is under attack after an expose on the Italian Current Affairs Show report by Bernardo Inovene, I hope I'm saying that right, accused Naples pies of being infected by carcinogens created by the combusting wood. The report also accused Napoli pizzerias of, quote, recycling packaging, using substandard ingredients, including palm, soya, and sunflower oil instead of olive oil, Chinese tomatoes instead of the traditional San Marzano tomatoes, the bussing in of prefabricated pizza bases to supposedly artisanal pizzerias, and more, the Telegraph reported earlier this week. The Association della Pizza Verace Napoletana, as well as other pizza luminaries in Italy, have rushed to defend their pizza's honor. We'll keep you posted on how that battle plays out. And some of the greatest minds in science today have proven why exactly fresh mozzarella is the best cheese to be used on pizza, as we were just discussing. The Smithsonian reports that a group of scientists from China, New Zealand, and the UK tested seven different kinds of cheese to uncover why exactly mozzarella tends to be the cheese of choice. Turns out that mozza's unique elasticity and its water and oil content produce the perfect consistency, bubbly and stringy yet still intact, that we look for in a pizza topping. It also browns nicely, creating a tasty top, but does not collect pools of grease like other varieties of cheese. Well, now we know, though I do wonder why no Italian or American scientists or pizza testers were among the investigators. That's your pizza news brief this week. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back with Pizza Party on Heritage Radio Network.
You're listening to You've Got Me Going, Baby by the Fabulous Conti Family on heritageradionetwork.org.
This special program was brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheeses that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
This is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph, and we're here with Michael Berman, the creator of PizzaCentric.com and a pizza photographer and storyteller. Thanks for being in the studio with us, Michael.
Oh, gosh, thanks for having me.
So you have a great theory, which we've talked about a little bit, about pizza as a people's food. But yeah. Can you sort of share that with our listeners? Sort of your...
Well, I mean, it kind of all started in that... I didn't want to just write for my blog only about pizza. Mm-hmm. And I just was gravitating toward certain other things, other foods that have a similarity to pizza, not even because of what it's made of, like dough, for instance. Although many of them might have dough mm-hmm. on the bottom that's baked with stuff on top, but instead because they're accessible foods that are homemade, that people make, and that probably or often date back in families or within a business that's been existing for a while, for a long time, and then are sold to people who can go to these places, these restaurants, or if you're invited to someone's house, then you're not buying it, but you're eating it, for not a lot of money. So they're accessible. So I just started to think about what are the people accessible foods, and they're kind of pizza-like mm-hmm. in that, you know, they should be fresh. They should be made by the person who has the place, made by the person who cares about what they make. And when I really boil it down, I think that it amounts to love. I mean, it's, you know, these people are doing it not first and foremost to make money or to compete, but because they really love this food and they have pride in what they can do. Mm-hmm. And I think that we ought to all support people, businesses, or people who approach what they make that way.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So what are some of your favorite pizza places in the city?
Some of my favorite pizza places mm-hmm. in the city? Oh, gosh.
it's a tough one. I know.
I mean, I like a lot of the pizza, you know, and a lot of times the pizza that I have, unless it's just I'm being local because we're home and we order a pizza, I'm happy to tell you where we order from, mm-hmm. but you know, it depends on our mood or where we are. I personally gravitate toward the older places. Mm-hmm. I like pizza being a shareable thing. Not that places that make a plate-sized pizza that's meant to be for one are not amazing, because they are. Mm-hmm. But I love the communal side of sharing a pizza, people together. So, of the old places, I love Totono's and Coney Island. Mm-hmm. I think their worst liability is that they're just so far away from mm-hmm. where a lot of people are coming from. Mm-hmm. But they just make brilliant pizza. And they've been using the same fresh mozzarella supplier since the place originally opened in 1924. Same family making the cheese for them. Mm-hmm. They make a white pizza, which... Okay, so at the Pines of Rome, which I was telling you about before, mm-hmm. they make a white pizza, which may or may not be a pizza. I had Scott Wiener over, and we debated it a little.
Yeah.
But they make it with Fontina cheese. And I've personally never been a fan of New York-style white pizza, mm-hmm. The quote-unquote white pizza, which involves ricotta cheese. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't... I don't love it. It just, the ricotta is too bland, or it gets too watery or something. Mm-hmm. Totono's doesn't use ricotta. They use mozzarella, the same mm-hmm. fresh mozzarella, and garlic, which they've chopped, and olive oil. And that's their white pizza. Mm-hmm. And, it's just like, it's mesmerizing how good it is. And they are so, they're so ahead of the curve on this as well. They will do a pizza that is half red and half white.
Whoa.
I don't know of another place that will do that.
That is generous.
It's really generous. So, I've photo. It's great because, you go in there, you can get a small, mm-hmm. and you can get it half and half, and, you can just... I encourage you, if you haven't been there lately, to go and do that.
It's
and
a
just
beautiful
decide
thing.
If you can favor one half or the mm-hmm. other.
Yeah.
Because it's a hard thing to figure out.
There's a place in my family that I go to in Vermont that does half and half, and that's, crucial when you're sharing, mm-hmm. I get why they don't do it, but I also really appreciate when they do it, especially
yeah.
the more I learn about pizza construction. So you've obviously met a lot of pizza makers. You've taken mm-hmm. a lot of photos. What have been some of the craziest or weirdest or most fascinating assignments you've ever done in terms of, things that surprised you or that you encountered that still stick in your mind because you've seen a lot of pizza?
I might answer that indirectly because... getting back to why I started Pizza Centric, because it connects with your question, and the idea of a story, was that pizzerias are, besides being a place where someone can stop and get an affordable food, are also oftentimes a hub in a neighborhood, and there's a community of people who have gravitated to one place, perhaps over the others, because it rose to the top as having the best pizza, or the owner who cared to ask you how you were doing when you came in, mm-hmm. or whatever the reason might be. And, just in general, I would say, pizzeria owners aren't all easy to get to know, and I don't blame them. They see a lot of people coming through the door every day. Mm-hmm. But they're like... especially the older places that have been in business for a long time, they're like a fixture in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And what I love most about pizza and eating pizza is definitely equaled by what I also love about the experience of going to have pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know if I'll be able to, on the fly, think of a story mm-hmm. that was... I could tell you stories people told me, but that's secondhand information anyway. The main thing I think is just when you go there and you look the guy in the eye or the gal who's making the pizza, and it's like, okay, this is their place and I'm having their pizza, and you feel that connection, and you can see the banter with some of the customers who they obviously know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I want them to know me. right. I got to come here more.
Right.
And then there's also the kind of place where they can't possibly know you unless you go all the time because they're just so darn busy. Mm-hmm. And that also always blows me away. Just like, it's exciting. This I think was what I was thinking of when I thought I wanted to go into the restaurant business. It's very captivating, the whole thing of food being made and being made quickly and well by people. And when you go into a pizza shop, that's like the original open kitchen. You can see the pizza being made in all these places.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if it's a place where you can't get to know the people, you feel like you're part of a rhythm taking your turn in line, like, you know, the Seinfeld soup Nazi, you know, it's my turn, say it right, it's a regular slice, it's right. New York, or whatever it is, you know, that you're thinking at the time, or what you want.
Yes, yes, I've always wanted to be a regular at a place like that. It's tough.
It's tough, but you can do it. And, you know, and I think that pizza, I think these places that really have that community feel, they're kind of like bars. It's like, you know the bartender, and the bartender knows what you're going to drink, or like my bakery on the corner. I mean, I go in there and, you know, they'll be like to the guy right behind me this morning, even like, how many you want today, Ralph? You know, like,
yes.
So I think that's great.
Yeah, for sure. We're sadly out of time.
No way.
So much more. I know, it goes so fast, right? we have so much more to talk about, so we'll have to have you back. We're going to leave you now with our slice of the week, which I'm stepping in to recommend. This is not, you know, usual pizza party behavior, but I finally got to the new spot in my neighborhood, Gigi's, in Alphabet City this week. It's on 5th between A and B, and they are serving one heck of a grandma slice. It's cheese on the bottom, sauce on the top, then more cheese, and they have these perfectly curled little circles of pepperoni, which I'm not usually a pepperoni pizza eater, but they just make it, and it was just as good reheated and cold the next day, because obviously I had a slice of each. So I am sold and recommend that you guys check it out. Gigi's on 5th and A. This has been another episode of Pizza Party, broadcasting live on Heritage Radio Network from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Thank you so much to Michael Berman for being in the studio with us today.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
For sure. And thanks to Roberta's for supplying our on-air pizza this season. Thanks to my sponsor, the fine musicians of Pizza Party Bass, for our intro song. Find more from them at soundcloud.com. My wonderful engineer Liz, and of course all of you for listening. Have a wonderful pizza month. Join us next week and the week after, all October. It's a great time to be talking about pizza, although it's always a great time on Pizza Party, and there will be pizza. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.